true before the second advent of their long-awaited Messiah Jesus, who they rejected at the end of the first coming to them. At that time, he placed his hand on the disciples' heads. They were his little ones. I preached this 40 years ago. I can't find it. So Tommy Brown keeps all my messages. So I went and I called Tommy, and he said, "Yeah, I remember that." He said, "That was a good message." He said, "I'll see if I can find it." Well, I couldn't find it. I did find allusions to it, but I couldn't find it. And so I thought, I am not going to fail to preach this, because it was a long time ago. And it was something that is so important. It has to do with everything. And it has to do with his love for his first New Testament church. It's found over in Zechariah. And it's found in Zechariah 13, 18 to 14, 19. Now, when you go through and examine Scripture, you remember how many times I've told you how hard it is to interpret Zechariah? And a lot of preachers that haven't been preaching all that long, they misinterpret it. And they get irritated sometimes if other people interpret it a different way. But I'm telling you, this is the right way. And so you have to go back in Zechariah, and he says, "And in that day," he says it in the 12th chapter. Go back to the 11th chapter, he says, "And in that day." Go back to the 13th chapter, he says, "In that day." And the question is, what day is he talking about? It's over a long period of time. And so sometimes when you go back in Zechariah, it seems to, well, this is talking about that, and this is talking about that, and it's in the Old Testament, it's not talking about that. No, that's not the way it works. And if you think it's easy to correctly interpret it, I don't preach something till I get rest on it from God. And if I do think I get rest and then I preach it, he'll let me know. And I'll tell people I'm wrong. But it's so important to realize what a long, wonderful plan God made from before he created time. He made it all by himself. The Godhead, bodily, made it. One God. Now, we're going to look at that. We're going to talk about it. And I think you're going to enjoy it. The second advent of their long-awaited Messiah. At that time, he placed his hand on the disciples' hands. They were his little ones. And at that time, as his first New Testament church, all his local visible New Testament churches contain some today. If you think everybody on this church roll that was baptized by this church or another scriptural church, and if you think they all observe the ordinances, and if you think they're all legitimately saved, man, you got more faith than the Lord. It doesn't work that way. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" But why do you think God sent me all over creation and all over the world? I've been in so many churches where Sunday school teachers that have taught for 60 years and are sitting out there waiting to die suddenly realize they never were saved. I went to one church and we had four professions of faith by people that had been members of the church from 25 years to 62 years, I believe. And when they came up, one each night, one after the other, the preacher argued with the first one. She was an elderly woman, sweet lady, taught Sunday school for, I think, 62 years. And they started arguing. And it wasn't a mean argument. And he kept getting her down and talking to her and getting her down, getting her up, talking down to her. And finally, he just turned her around gently, of course, and said, "You tell them." She said, well, he didn't say it in that tone of voice. He said, Sister so-and-so, you tell them. She said, about 62 years ago, or she said about 60 years ago, she said, I came down the aisle at the invitation. And she said, I believed what he had said. And so I didn't know what to do. So she said, I came down the aisle. These are the exact words she used. You've heard this before. Am I not repeating them word for word? She said, I put my hand in his. He took my hand. And he said, do you want to join the church? She said, yes. And then he started trying to lead her to the Lord. She said, I got saved back there. She said, I've been teaching Sunday school class all these years. And she said, I didn't even know the Lord. She said, I know Jesus was God's son. Well, the devils believe that and tremble. But she had never been introduced to Jesus to repent toward God. It is the Father that leads you to the Son. And when you go down the aisle, the pastor will tell you how to get saved if you don't know how. But there seems to be a rush to get people into church. And I didn't realize that. The next Sunday, that was on a Monday, I believe. Or was it a Tuesday? Anyway, let's say it was Monday. And on Tuesday, a man who had been a member of the church 32 years and had been faithful in attendance. I think he was a deacon. I don't remember that for sure. He came down and made a profession and told them exactly the same thing. And then a young lady came down. She was 26, and she'd been teaching a Sunday school class for several years. She gave the exact type of profession. Altogether, the last one, I don't remember too well, but there were five of them, or four. Anyway, they all said the same thing. And that church had been the most hellacious church in the missionary Baptist work. And they had run off pastor after pastor after pastor. And it was because they weren't saved. And if he stood up there and tried to just keep them, teaching them salvation and salvation and salvation and salvation and salvation, they thought, I'm already a member of the church. I'm all right. Well, I tell you, there's a few in our church that aren't all right. I don't doubt any of your salvation. You say, would you take an oath to it? Well, the Lord said, I'm not supposed to. But if the Lord would let me, I would. Because I know you. You've demonstrated it. You've manifested Christ. You love him. I know you love him because he first loved you. Same reason I love him. It took me all these years to learn that. Well, Jesus had a long time on this earth. Now, at that time, well, he was told about in Genesis, the first chapter. You know all that story. Genesis 1:16, and then Genesis 3:15, then Genesis 3:21. At that time, he placed his hands on the disciples' hands. He called them his little ones. And that's what you are. That's what I am. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God, not heaven. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God except you become as little children. You know why you're going to get to live in the kingdom city? Because you became like little children. Didn't you? Aren't you right now? Isn't that happening to you right now? And sometimes isn't it a real struggle? And sometimes don't you feel guilty as molasses? Your feet stick to the floor and you feel guilty. You're supposed to. But then when you go to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you, He says He will. That's conversion. That's Christian growth. That's being a good church member. But it's a whole lot harder than being saved. Because what? Jesus did it all. You say, well, didn't He do it all so I could be baptized properly? Yes. But that's an ordinance. Didn't He tell you to do the ordinances so you could find forgiveness? He could wash your feet and you could feel clean and till the next time. You say, well, I didn't know God was that merciful. He is that merciful. That's why you can't lose your salvation. That's why you don't have to worry about those parents of yours that made professions of faith. And you wonder sometimes, were they in the right faith? Did they say the right thing? Did they do it the right way? And you spend the rest of your life working. Well, what does that cause you to do? It causes you to pray about them. You say, well, what if they're already in heaven? I have a suspicion that God has given you that awareness inside you. And you wish that maybe you'd said more. Isn't that the way it goes? And yet we don't accept that way. It's something that, listen, let me tell you something. God knows what He's doing. You don't and I don't, but He does. All His local visible New Testament churches contain some today. I believe you're all saved. I believe you're all church members. I believe you're all being converted. So I think right now it's unanimous here. Now, if we had a huge crowd in here on Sunday and every seat was filled and they were all shouting hallelujah and kicking their shoes up in the air, I would have some reservations. So you got to stop doing that, Mary. I thought your grandmother taught you better about that. And you had a good grandmother. I loved her. And I loved that granddaddy of yours. He was such a clown. Polishing eggs. I'd never polished an egg in my life. He taught me how to polish eggs. And I'd sit over there with him, a witness to him, polish eggs. I ought to get something for that. And the Jews in Israel still have a mini short holocaust to pass through in the tribulation of Zechariah 13:18 to 14:9, which we'll get to. Well, old Huckabee called it a hot oven. It is a hot oven. He said that what Obama had done and what other leaders had done was to open the door to a hot oven to a death, many, many Jewish Holocaust. They're going to get slaughtered, 2/3 of them in Israel. It's not as big a Holocaust as the one in Israel, but I'll give you some figures here in a minute. I accept the recent hot oven, recent Holocaust reference. I accept it. I think he's right. And would you believe that they're now starting to compliment the man on it? Man, I complimented on it the moment I heard it. It's the truth. Now, apply that to yourself. You're not going through the Holocaust. Are you? Check that off to God's mercy. Check that off to God's love for you. Quit worrying about, I like what she told me before she came in. I asked her about Cool Hand Luke. I said, are you worried about him? She said, I don't worry about him. Man, now that is a Christian attitude. Because God's going to take care of Cool Hand Luke. And I'm hoping that they'll get to live together in heaven. And I imagine they are too. But that's something secret that I never have asked either one of them. I'm afraid to. The Jews have another short Holocaust to go through and associate with the tribulation period. I've taught you this for 40 years. Israel and southern, well, no, since Hezbollah came into existence, and it's almost 40 years. Hezbollah in southern Lebanon during the next administration following Obama's February 17, 2017 office departure from office. I put some periods in there so it would be easier to understand. What's so remarkable about this? This is happening like a file. Man, I started this 40 years ago, and it's happening just like a file. Just like I'm going through a file of stuff. And Kenneth wants to put out all those things, you know. Yeah, I have made some mistakes. I don't deny that. I'm a human being. But God hasn't made any mistakes. And as time has passed, I call it the God folder. He's been putting it in a folder. Man, this thing's on schedule. This thing's on time. So pray for your children. Pray for those who are in churches that know the Lord but are being taught false doctrine. And what he talked about back there, I'm going to start putting some of this on there. I'm going to go back and I'm going to put those rapture tapes on there because that's important. And I'm going to run them off and put up a file of them, a pile of them. And if people want them, I'll be glad to give you a set of them and you can run them off yourself. I don't, unless the church wants to run them off, but you're talking about a whole bunch of money if you do that. He says, the Syrian Antichrist will have a counterattack waiting for Israel. It's right there in Daniel chapter 11, verse 40. It's as plain as the nose on your face. You say, well, when I first read that, it wasn't plain on the nose on my faith. You're not a graduate of a military academy. Whoo, makes me a big man, doesn't it? No, I had no desire to be a graduate of a military academy. They told me, at your rank, you've got to go, and you're the only one. You hold the highest score in the history of the Air Force in synoptic analysis. You don't have any choice. You want another stripe? You better go down there. Man, I had 7 kids, and I said, where's the way? Would you draw me a map? But it's there. Man, first I looked at that and I said, whammo. Could I have done that if God hadn't put me in that? God put me in that military academy. I didn't put myself in it. I didn't put myself in it to become a meteorologist. I didn't put myself to become a geologist. God did it. So who am I to say, well, look what I did. You can forget that. And I'm not being humble. I'm just telling the truth. The truth is always humble. The Syrian Antichrist will have a counterattack waiting for Israel, which begins the last 1,335 days of Daniel's 70th week. I was taught that when I was a teenager. They had stopped teaching it in 1740. So why did God give birth to me up in Augusta, Arkansas, a bunch of hillbillies, up in northern Arkansas, in a church my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather organized? Did I realize that? No. But man alive, I realize it now. So why are you telling us so we'll believe you? Yeah. Yeah. That's why all this happened to me. So I could preach and I could tell you how smart God is and how stupid I am spiritually and how wonderful God is and how pitiful you are without Him. During these 1,335 days, the sounding of the seventh trumpet rapture occurs, after which 7 wrath vials will end the battle of Armageddon at Christ's second advent. Now, some people actually think that Mount of Olives thing is that this period of time he's talking about here is the first time he came. It is not. You think I'd sit here with that firm a voice and say, it is not? If that doesn't shake me inside when people believe that, because they mislead people. That's one of the reasons for the first of the week position. See Archive Prophecy Update Diagram number 321, December 9th, 2011. How many times have you looked at that? Okay. Daniel 12, 4 through 13. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked. This is the last chapter. And behold, there stood other two, the one on the other this side of the river and on the bank of the river, and the other on the side of the river of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the water, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? He asked him, Well, he gives him an answer, straightforward. He's already given it several times, and Daniel has given it in Revelation several times, that liveth forever, and it shall be for a time, 1 year, times 2 years, and a half a year, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, and all these things shall be finished. He's going to scatter the power of the holy people. Well, who were the holy people when this was written? He said he's going to scatter their power. And he says, all these things, he said, shall scatter the power of the holy people. Israel is sitting over there right now. And they think, we can whip Turkey. We can whip Egypt. They're not going to have to. We can whip Jordan. We can whip Turkey. Do I have to go down the whole list? They say, we can do it. We. Not God. We. Man, they're going to be scattered like a bunch of wild turkeys going south on both sides of the Samaritan Mountains. And they're going to be run down into the Negev wilderness. He says, all these things shall be finished. What did he say about the rapture? He said, it is finished. What did he say about the vials of wrath? It is over. You know who he wrote that to? Me. To every one of you. And do you know why he did it? Because he loved you. And do you know why you're sitting right here? Because he first loved you. You're not here by accident. Nor am I. Nor are you super extra special for any other reason than this. You and I are super extra special because we belong to him. Look what he's given us. We're here worshiping him. That's what you're doing right now. Could you worship him in another church that didn't teach the truth? Could you worship him correctly? Let me put it that way. Can you worship God if you're saved? Yes. But where is the glory of God? For unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Oh, Lord, thank you for teaching us this. We could never have learned it if you hadn't taught us. I think I can speak for all of us by saying, Lord, we had no idea how wonderful and marvelous you are and how much you loved us. And we still don't realize how much you love us. And yet we know that you do. Now notice what he says. He said, and I heard, and I understood not. Daniel did not understand this. Then said I, oh my Lord, what shall we? And I imagine there was some emphasis in here. I don't have the critical markings. Then I don't have them on this page. And I said, oh my Lord. He said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed up to the time of the end. He said, before that, oh my Lord, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? You think that didn't shock him? You think it didn't shock me when I learned these things that I've learned by the grace of God through his word and by his spirit? And haven't I been amazed at what he's taught you and me both? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed unto the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Take a look at that diagram. I took the Bible, and I made that diagram from the Bible. If it's wrong, I misinterpreted what the Lord said. But it wasn't because I wasn't trying to understand it, and because I hadn't diligently and still continue to pray that if I'm wrong, I will understand it and tell you before I die. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. That's way back there. When was the daily sacrifice taken away? When they crucified him. That's way back there. So, how much of Daniel's prophecy had he fulfilled at that time? 1,185 days. So, how do I know that? I've gone through that with you. Over and over again. Could I be wrong about it? I don't think so, but there it is. And if it's wrong, it's because I misinterpreted. And I guarantee you, if I misinterpreted, it wasn't by far. So how much does that leave? 1,335 days. When does it start? We'll get into that. And the abomination that maketh desolate set up. The abomination that maketh desolate set up is the Antichrist himself. And when he sets himself on the Temple Mount as God, that's when the abomination of desolation is set up. And that's when God says, enough! It is finished! And up go the 144,000. Up go all the saved all over the earth. Up go the faithful. Up go those who have been scripturally baptized. And up those who go up, those who have been scripturally baptized, who have been saved, scripturally baptized, and have been in scriptural churches and have worshiped God. That is so plain that a child can understand it. Is that in the Bible? I'm a babe in Christ. Out of the mouth of babes shall go wisdom. Whose wisdom do I want? I do not want to settle things by my own wisdom, nor does Leonard, nor does Kenneth, nor does Chuck Trusty. What we want is the wisdom of God. And we ask God for His wisdom. We ask God for His discernment. We ask God for His... What's the other one?
Understanding.
Did you paid attention during that?
No, I listened to none.
You did what?
Actually, I didn't know that.
Well, another bad check mark. Lord, I can't. I really appreciate the governor, former governor of Texas. That poor man made that mistake, and they would not forgive him. God help us if we ever get a perfect president. And it'll be God himself who helps us in the millennial reign. If somebody said, was Jesus running, would you vote for him in a baker's minute? But he's going to elect himself because he's the only one intelligent enough to cast a vote that's perfect. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. It's all on that diagram. Why would he put that in there? Good grief. People say, well, God needed to be more specific. Oh, my goodness. He might as well come down and said and told it to you out of a nursery rhyme. 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,330 and 30 days. They're going into the millennium. That's a blessing. Well, do you think Daniel's got a lot in the millennium? You better believe he has. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. God knows I'm hoping this. It may not work like this. But every time I read that, I think about Imogene. And I think about just Molly and me, and baby makes three. We're happy in my blue heaven. If I don't get to live where she lives and she doesn't get to live where I live, that's all right. Because all things work together for good to them that love his appearing and love God. So it'll just have to be that way. But oh, I sure hope we get to live on the same lot, whatever that means. Zechariah 13:7 to 14:7. Awake, O sword, against thy shepherd, and against that which is thy fellow. Is Jesus Christ the fellow of God? Yes, he is the Son of God. He has fulfilled the office of the Son of God. He has fulfilled the office of the Father. He has fulfilled the office of the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the everlasting Father. He is Almighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. Now, guess what happened? He says, smite the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd. And the sheep shall be scattered. Well, they smote him. The sheep were scattered then all over the world. But they're going to be scattered again. And it's going to be a miniature holocaust. They've already been through a real one. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Who do you think the little ones are? That's you. That's you. That's me. Except ye become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God, the city of God, the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. That's what that's talking about. And you're not going to go in there unless God is allowed to change you from what he was when you saved you. You say, well, what if I don't have time? Don't worry. God will take care of all that. You just make up your mind. From this moment forward, I'm going to try to do what he said after I'm saved. And if I don't succeed, I know he'll forgive me. You say, hey, you're taking advantage of him. Why do you think he died so you could take advantage of him? Why did your mother, who doesn't love you nearly as much as he did, why did you take advantage of her? Why did you take advantage of your dad? Why did you take advantage of anybody? If anybody ever let men and women take advantage of them, it was Jesus Christ that let it do it to him personally. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third shall be left therein. And I've still got preachers that look me in the eye and say, Brother McElmurray, you're wrong. They're going to Petra. How can they deny this? You say, well, you're criticizing them. No, I'm telling this to you because they're wrong. I don't care if it's your son or your daughter or your friend or whatever. They're wrong. If they believe the rapture is going to occur at the first of the week, they're wrong. Well, do something about it. Don't just stick your tongue out at them. Give them some stuff that came from this church, from Leonard, from me, from Kenneth. All that stuff's on our internet. I can disprove everything John Hagee says. Everything about the rapture. Two parts therein shall be cut off and die. So two parts die, one part survives. But the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire. There's your holocaust. But they come through the fire. And will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Listen, there's people over there that's saved that's going to get a little bit of the holocaust. We're going to get a little bit of the holocaust over here, but not in the sense that they do in that Jordan River Valley and in the old world where all this stuff happened. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I wonder where that place is. Jerusalem is in the midst of Israel. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. That's exactly what's going to happen. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue, and that residue is remnant. It's the same identical word in Hebrew. Other people shall not be cut off from the city. And that cut off that's used there, I preached it to you. I showed you the word. I taught you. It means they won't be cut off. Well, could you explain that? Yeah, I sure can. They will return. Did you ever hear that before? I taught it since I came up here. That's where it is. They shall return. They're not going to be cut off from the city. Oh, they'll be run down in the Negev wilderness, but they will come back. Think how much joy you're going to have there. When you're standing there and you're watching this stuff and you're saying, well, Leonard and Kenneth and Chuck and Tom and some of the others were wrong about this and wrong about that. But don't do that. Well, you won't be able to. You won't have a carnal nature. But just take a look around you and say, who cares, man? This is better than they thought. I'll guarantee you it's better than we think. Because God's better than we think. He says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee in Jerusalem. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses shall be rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. They will be allowed to return. But when they go through there, that's exactly what they're going to do to the city as they're driving them south into the Negev wilderness. It's going to be a time of great misery. It's what I call a mini holocaust. You know why Huckabee was right? Because he got it out of the Bible. He believed Jeremiah. Well, who did Jeremiah believe? He believed God. You say, well, I don't think Jeremiah understood it. Well, I bet he does now. Then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. You know what I've discovered since I first taught this 40 years ago? Well, I'm not going to tell you tonight. I will later. For the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azazel. Yea, and ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. This is when we come back after we have been judged in heaven. And we come back to rule and reign in Christ. And our clothing, some of us will not be as glorious as others. And some of us will live in a city, the New Jerusalem. And some of us will not. And some of us will live immediately outside the city. And some of us will live on the other side of the earth, but we'll be in heaven, or at least the domain of it. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. I'm not going through this because we don't have time, but I've been through that so many times. Get my book out and read it about tectonic chaos, and it tells all about it. And it shall be in that day that living waters, that means waters that go perpetually, and they called it living waters. They are the waters that go all the time, where you have water that keeps you alive. And it's literal, physical water. Shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea. That's the Kadmonis Sea. That's the Dead Sea. and half of them toward the Hinder Sea. That's the Mediterranean Sea. Then he lets you know for sure, in summer and in winter shall it be. He said, this is not going to be something that, this is not going to be one that dries up. Most of the streams in Israel dry up, just about all of them, during the dry season. But he said, this is not going to be like that. He said, it's going to go through the whole millennial reign. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. There's only one God. Have I ever had any trouble with that? Yeah, I have. But what it says, and so I accept it. That wicked will be an ungodly Islamic Syrian caliph of the country's consolidated Armada Caliphate, terrorist groups from Lebanon to Iraq to their queen, Iran, to Afghanistan. The king of the north is the Syrian Antichrist, and the king of the south is Israel, joined by Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. If you want to know what's going to happen, well, hold on to this thing and look at it. You can just keep watching it. Am I that confident of this thing? You better believe I am. And you better believe that the more you look at this and the more time passes, and we don't have much left, the more you'll be strengthened with, yeah, all this really is going to happen. Chris Wallace, would you dismiss us?